If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kuntos.
We are happy to have you along. Got a great show for you today. It's hard for me to imagine, if you're listening to me on Saturday morning, that it's actually March.
Oh, I can't believe it.
The Ides of March are here.
Spring is a-coming. Yeah.
You know, golf is there. I show up. We go to church on Sunday and then we go to Top Golf. You know, I take the kids down for lunch and we go to play. And I have to, as a business owner, I just have to ask myself a question. Where were the 1,000 people a year ago?
I know. Right? It's crazy.
I mean, it's always packed. They hired 500 people to go to work there. You know,
there's a waiting list always there,
there's
right?
There's a waiting list there always, unless you have a corporate card, and then you don't have to wait quite as long.
I see.
Yeah, that's, I cannot endure the wait. But what a great place, and we have a lot of fun. But it's one of those things, you know, when we talk about investing, the investment playbook is part of what goes on in our process. It's the third part of the five critical elements. We want to look for disruption, distortion, and disintermediation, right? So what's a disruption? Well, Topgolf is apparently a disruptor, right?
Yep.
There were things that I did a year ago
that you're not doing
now. That I'm not doing today.
That's true.
Right? And so my big question for them is, what happens when I can golf on Sunday after church? Because it's been a little wet, been a little cold.
Oh, sure.
And will other people take my play? You know, where will it work? But you should always be asking those questions in the things that you invest in. You know, what is disruptive to what you do?
Mm-hmm.
What can distort it, meaning it's more expensive now than it ought to be? Healthcare is one of my favorite subjects because I think we're on the cusp of watching a price crash.
Do you really?
As opposed to the opposite side of what people are looking for. Oh. I've got hope in that world.
I've
got hope in that world. And then disintermediation is when you're able to cut the middleman out. Mm. You know, it's what Amazon has done to so many people, and it's just kind of out there. So when we talk about economics, which is rarely on this show, today we are going to break down the S&P 500 so you can really understand some of the issues surrounding it. But if you want to know more about how it works, you can go to yourlifeafterwork.com/S&P 500. Well, you can get a little bit more there. And while you're there, if you care about that stuff, don't forget to get signed up for the Market Carver. yourlifeafterwork.com/Market Carver. We'll send you a video every Thursday and give you an idea of what we think were the most important things that happened in the economy.
In your email box.
And it comes right in your email box,
yep.
Right around 11:04.
To be exact.
Every Thursday. We're pretty pretty succinct on some of those timing things. Hey, you are listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Kuntos. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. ConsiderThis@yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kuntos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
So happy to have you along. Hey, Sherry, this yes. segment we are going to talk about the biggest investment that I think most people own that are invested in the market.
Okay.
That they understand the least about.
Okay.
And it's called this cute little thing, the S&P 500.
Right. Now, we've all heard of it.
We've all heard of it.
Sure.
It's in almost every 401k plan that is out there. Mm-hmm. And let me just start with a quotation from Dr. David Blixer. Doc is, I've been with him, heard him talk. He's the chairman of the S&P 500 Index Committee. Quote, the S&P 500 Index was not created to be an investment vehicle.
Really?
Really.
What was it created?
And yet it is the largest single investment that is tracked in the entire planet.
Okay.
So back in the 30s, when things, nobody ever asked what's wrong when it looks like it works.
Right.
So anytime things work really bad, think Great Depression, mm-hmm. right? Then people start to ask a bundle of questions. And one of the things that economists wanted to know was to have a look at the private economy in such a way that it would have a better idea of understanding where we were in an economic cycle. And so the belief was that our economy functioned, if you think about a clock with peak at midnight, so a peak economy, mm-hmm. things are rocking and rolling. Then they start to slow down on what we would call a contraction at 3 o'clock, eventually a recession at 6 o'clock, and then you go back into an expansion at 9, working your way back to the midday at the peak. So as the Standard & Poor's was commissioned to come up with 500 companies that best represented the overall U.S. economy.
Okay.
And there were companies from different sectors. There's now mm-hmm. 11 of them, but just think about materials, consumer discretionary, financials, healthcare, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right? So 500 companies that were put out there, and the belief being that if we were in a recession type, a contraction to a recession type economy, that utilities and consumer staples, things that you have to have, would be performing better than things that you merely want,
luxury,
like consumer discretionary or mm-hmm. you know, things of that nature. And so it was a, you know, the economists would come up with their belief, then they would look to the individual underlying companies to see, hey, are we on the right track or are we not on the right track?
Okay.
A guy named John Bogle came along and built this company called Vanguard. Mm-hmm. And in Vanguard, he took those 500 companies in the S&P 500 and put together a lookalike of those companies. Now, there's a suit every year, and they change checks and laugh and giggle because there's been so much money that's made. But if you notice, most of the funds are no longer S&P 500 funds, especially at Vanguard. They are index funds that reference that. People believe it's the S&P 500, and it's not. There's a few things to look at within the S&P 500, though. The first one is understanding sectors. That's what I want you to get. Mm-hmm. So what is a sector? Well, it's a group of companies that do differing things. So you understand a financial services company
sure.
is probably different than a healthcare company.
Right.
Right. You got that. Is Amazon a technology company or a consumer discretionary company?
Technology.
Yeah, everybody would think Netflix.
Right, right.
Everybody would think, except they're both in consumer discretionary.
Interesting.
And so it's because it's not based on a stock, it is based on what that actual company does. Amazon okay. provides goods and services, Netflix provides movies. Yep. Movies are not necessarily something you need.
True.
Tell my daughters that.
Yeah.
You want them, correct?
Yeah.
So when you look over the last 2 years of the S&P 500's lifespan, right?
Mm-hmm.
The S&P 500 over the last 2 years has earned 36.4%. It's been a good 24-month run. We're talking about the end of 2017. But information technology and financials were both up over 50% over those 2 years. Real estate and healthcare were at 14.6 and 18.79, respectfully.
Hmm.
Now, one of the things that people will tell you is just because a sector does really well in one year doesn't mean it's going to be the one that did well next year. Information technology won in 17, and it won in 2 years. Financials was number four over the last year, number two in 1 year. Consumer discretionary, you know, again and again and again. It's when you get into an economic period of time, things can change. So when we look at it fundamentally, what you're going to find is that the companies actually, the bottom companies match up pretty well with the individual companies, right? They really, really do.
Okay.
But there's two things that people are missing here. One is the understanding of what's called market capitalization. So we're going to take the largest market cap company out there. It's a company called Apple.
Yeah.
You know, Forrest Gump talked about it in his famous day of Forrest Gump, right? At the time of this writing, which was the end of December, Apple's market cap was $867 billion. Now, what that means is you take the number of shares of stock that are available to be bought with Apple,
right?
Of Apple, you divide by that number based on the current price,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you come up with a market cap.
Yeah.
So Apple was $867 billion then. And here's what we pointed out in the meeting that we had. If Apple stock grew by 10%, right? So $86 billion more, it was going to create an entire another American Express. If it grew by 15% more, a whole nother Amgen. 20% more, a whole nother Boeing. 25% more, a whole brand new Intel.
Size,
based on market cap. Not
right,
size, not anything
cap.
To the economy, just stock value. If it increased by a third, it's equal to Walmart.
Okay.
Right? That's how important this market cap is.
Mm.
Well, what does that get to you guys as investors? Well, when you look at the S&P 500... it is a market cap driven instrument, which may have not mattered. I wasn't there in the early 70s when Bogle started this. It may have not mattered then, but as professional money managers, we've got $350 million that we take care of. And I will tell you, my investment committee in our process, one of the things that Adam and Andrew and I have to look at is volume, the number of shares that are traded every day. But we also have to look at market capitalization. With $350 million, we can literally move the stock price.
Mm.
And if you in some of the smaller companies.
Right.
So if we divide the S&P 500 into the largest market cap decile,
mm-hmm.
versus the smallest and the mid-size, what you will notice is the 10 largest companies make up about 20% of the value of the S&P 500. So even though we think we're diversified,
we really have
an awful lot of our money in one place. When we look at the average annual return, and the print is too small for me to see what over a period of time that we're looking at, it's got to be from 1997 to 2016, the average return over that period of time for the largest decile, the top 50 companies, if you will, in the index is just under 30%. The largest for the fifth decile, so the companies that sit right in the middle, was almost 55%. The smallest was at 52%. In fact, if you looked at the chart, what you will notice is the greatest returns are all from the sixth decile down, the top, lowest 10% and so forth and so forth. Why is that?
Yeah.
It's because mutual fund managers in general cannot go in and buy those companies. So what you default to in your 401k is what the 401k offers.
Right.
But if I'm a $30 billion mutual fund, I have no ability to buy any sizable amount of a company that's got a market cap of $30 billion. There's mutual fund rules that are against it.
Yeah.
And so the average investor goes year after year with subpar performance based on the risk that they're willing to take simply because they're trapped in investments that they have not thought about over an extended period of time. It's a herd mentality. We default to what we've always done. And folks, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to have what you've already got, right? We need to really think this through and try to step up our game a little bit. Understand that things change. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Kontos. Don't forget to visit us at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. Sherry and I'll take a break. We'll be right back.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
You know, and Sherry's job is to keep me on track, make sure that I answer your questions. So I'm going to let her, she asked me, every time we go to break, she asks questions.
That's true. Right? It's
so
true.
Go ahead.
Well, my question was, so the point of the last segment on the S&P 500 is mutual funds, really.
Well, no, it's not just that, but it's clearly one of them. One of the effective flaws of mutual funds is that they are not able to buy the smaller companies because their mass gets too great.
Yeah.
You have people like Peter Lynch, who was famous at Fidelity, mm-hmm. who was kept under $100 million of asset value intentionally so that he could prove his results. And then when he was done, it was over a $30 billion fund. Mm. You know, that you hear these names and people do not understand that aimlessly, as funds accept more money and managers accept more money, that they are limited, which is why...
By regulation.
So they go to the S&P 500 index. That way people believe in. Most people honestly believe they own 500 different companies.
Yeah.
You ask a question, can you still buy it?
Yeah, well, can you?
The number one traded thing every day on the market, if you ever turn on CNBC and look at the ticker channel, mm-hmm. are three letters, SPY. That is the exchange-traded fund for the S&P 500.
Wow.
And money managers use it all the time as a holding place. We use it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that's available. Huh. What I get a kick out of is the largest owner of exchange-traded funds in the world is mutual funds.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, there's nothing like paying a fee inside of a fee and not acknowledging that you've done something wrong. And
wow.
Anyhow, but the big point is, if you want to invest in the United States economy, I want you to understand the S&P 500 is a representative of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are clearly better points and times when you can now pick out those individual pieces.
Yeah.
When people ask me as a fiduciary why I encourage people to move out of a 401k plan and into IRAs that are managed by registered investment advisors, I'm not talking about buying an annuity. I'm not talking about going to a broker.
Yeah.
But it's the opportunity for us to fine filter and put your money in places that have less anchors, if you will. Mm-hmm. Why be burdened by everybody else in the world if you have the ability to change?
Yeah.
And so forth. So I get asked, you know, I get asked a lot of questions like, Joe, why do you have to do it so differently? and it's not that I try to do it differently. You just have to understand where I came from. I tell people I was the Rodney Dangerfield of investing. Right. I mean, I started 2 weeks before the crash in 87.
Mm.
I walked in on that Monday morning and everybody was gone. You know, the little girl was sitting there with tears in her eyes. I'm not sure she understood what was happening.
Wow.
There was nobody there to train me, to educate me. And so I had to start asking questions. And you would think these people who could go take tests, the Series 7 or the Series 6 or the insurance, you would think that you would learn things that would help people.
Yeah.
What you really learn about are the regulations and the things that you have to do or can't do as
stay
a quote-unquote broker.
Right.
Stay out of jail or not get fined, one or the other. And it's a bunch of boxes. You know, that if I stay in this box, I can't get in trouble. Doesn't mean I can help Sherry,
but
I can't get in trouble. And that, you know, those things kind of concern me. So I started asking questions. And the more you ask these questions, the more the commentary is, but why? But why? I mean, I love two-year-olds. They're always asking, but why?
Yes.
Right? And, you know, you go down that chain, and eventually what you figure out is many of the things that we have in our system today are there because they've always been there, and so people get in their comfy little chairs. And secondly, there is an awful lot of money that is behind it. I mean, it is a huge amount of money.
Sure.
What I want, what drives me when I wake up in the morning, is to make sure that people have an opportunity to understand their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and sometimes financial devastation.
Mm.
So let me give you a perfect for instance.
Okay.
I had a guy who came in. He was managing his own 401k. He had it all inside. He wanted to have a heavy equity weighting. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you that's what he did. 85% of his money was in equities, and because he wanted the lowest cost, he had it in the S&P 500 look-alike fund that was inside of the account. So he had three holdings, which I'm not opposed to. Right, as a fiduciary, if that's the best options you have in a 401k, there were about 15 choices he had, and there were no good international choices, mind you. He had 85% of his money in an S&P 500 look-alike, 12% of his money in a fixed income investment that, you know, is questionable with interest rates where they are today, and the rest was in a money market account. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he proceeded to go into an economic discussion with me why. Well, that's fine. I don't mind that. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money.
Right, right.
And so that doesn't mean that they aren't curious.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll have people who say, Joe, what about healthcare and what's going on inside? You know, we've got a lot of docs we take care of. What's going on in the financial services world with the DOL rule, et cetera, et cetera? Mm-hmm. They're great questions, right? They really are well-founded questions, and you're able to give the answer. So I've got one guy who's essentially in the energy space, and he knew the last 4 years what was going on in the energy space, right? And he's a listener on this radio show, and he's talked to me for years. So he finally comes in, and I look at his 401k before we were able to move it over, and again, it's in the S&P 500 fund to a large degree. And I go, now, you know what's going on in the energy sector. He goes, yeah. I said, so why would you have owned energy in the 15, 16, first half of 17 timeframe? And he goes, well, I didn't. I owned the S&P 500. And I got out said, no, you had a certain percentage of your money sitting inside of energy, knowing that it was not just bad, it was a dead weight. In fact, over the 17 snapshot, while the S&P 500 was up 21.83, energy lost 1%.
Mm.
And he was in the catbird seat to understand it. What he didn't understand was that there were tools to allow him to buy the rest.
That's what I was gonna
and eliminate
ask you.
The energy.
There are tools.
And so people again will say, well, Joe, okay, I know that you've done some of these things in the past that were a little bit different. What's going on today? And what I think you have to understand is my job as a fiduciary is to take care of your money as I would if it were my money and we were in the same situation as of today's date.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
So back in 1987, there are things that I used that I would not even consider proposing using today because technology has changed.
Yep.
Not because there are better opportunities for Joe. There are better opportunities for Sherry.
Mm.
See, that filter that I look at through life when I wake up in the morning as a fiduciary, I call it the fiduciary focus, is it's risk and volatility. How can I reduce risk and control volatility? Fees and expenses, and remember, they're two different things.
Right.
Taxes, both today and tomorrow. And then the fourth thing is getting a real return. Well, when I started, inflation was a much larger number than it is today.
Sure.
So I have to look at what I would use based on real return differently.
Mm.
There wasn't even such a thing as a Roth IRA in 1987. 1987.
That's crazy.
Right? They didn't start till 1998 and later than that for a 401k. Does that mean I ignore them, not pay attention to them, not think about what it means? Fees and expenses. When I started, it was $350 to make a stock trade.
Mm.
Right? It was probably more than that. Nobody would do it because the cost was so high with the amount of money I had. You know, then it fell to 70. Then, you know, today it's $695. And some places, it, you know, it's even lower than that.
Yeah.
But it still has not addressed the expenses that are inside of mutual funds that are there. Risk and volatility, there are so many ways that I can pare down that risk exposure that I have. January 1st of 2000, as we went into the tech wreck, if you owned the S&P 500, 40% of your money was in technology and in telecommunications that had negative net earnings.
Wow.
You thought you owned 500 companies. You thought they were equally divided. Mm. You thought it represented the U.S. economy, but it didn't. Mm. 40% of it, because of that market cap weighted issue, was truly there. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Kontos. Don't forget to go to the website, yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last three decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, Homes is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
Happy to have you along. I don't know, other than listening to this radio program, what you guys do on most Saturdays. My job is to figure out the best way to educate you about your money so you don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation.
Yes.
And that means I have to listen to a lot of other people talk.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on out there in the space. Now, as I told my students, and some of this is, some of you are going to get offended, and I apologize wholeheartedly. I am not trying to do this in any way, shape, or form to create an issue, a conflict, or anything else. We take care of all kinds of people with all kinds of beliefs.
Yes.
Right? But I would start my class at Purdue by saying there's three things in Indiana you're not allowed to talk about: money, religion, and politics.
Yep.
And just so you know, I'm a Christian conservative that manages money. and you would see some of them go, "Oh, professor, you can't say that." Oh, here's why I said it. We live in a world that is not black and white most of the time. Mm-hmm. It is generally gray, especially when it gets into a lot of the economic stuff.
Yeah.
I have biases. You have to know what those biases are as I teach you, because a bias is the lens at which you look through life, right? So I have to recognize mine.
We
you have to recognize
them.
Yours. There's a reason our company is made up of people of different biases that are there, so that we can bring our collective thought together to steer the ship in the right direction, right? And that becomes incredibly important. So if you're doing this on your own, you have to have a mechanism to recognize your bias and what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Now, when people come in to see me, they ask the question. They go, "Joe, I understand that you're a fiduciary, which means you have to take care of my money as if it were mine in the same situation. But how do I know that your number one interest isn't you?"
Yeah.
And it's a fair question, right?
Yeah.
So go to the biases that I have, some that will never go away. And then some that I can block out. We are totally independent. Nobody gives us money for anything, right?
Yeah. You don't sell products.
So there's no commission.
Right.
So some people who sell things, believe it or not, if you're in a 401k plan, they get paid more commission if you have money in a mutual fund versus if you have money in a cash account. And so the things that they may help you allocate might just be a little bit different. There's a conflict of interest that exists there.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that everybody who has that conflict is a bad person.
Right.
Right. But what you're searching for, what you're trying to do, is to eliminate those biases whenever you possibly can. Know what's in them for them.
Okay.
Right. So I'm an addict. There's no point. No no way around that. Our bias is that we believe for people who don't want to take care of their money, mm-hmm. that we are the best possible solution. Now, if you want to take care of it, that's your business. If you're looking for a fiduciary, that's our business.
Yeah.
And we believe that because of our unique process, that proprietary model that we have built in here, that is essentially we help you develop a financial vision. It's a couple sentences. It's qualitative or qualitative, not quantitative. There's no number involved. Every year we sit down in your family update and we go over your life after work, what that retirement plan looks like, the tax planning that has to be done by the end of the year, the investment playbook, what's going on in the market and the economy. The fourth, of course, is life happens. It's things that are one off. And then the fifth is the legacy planning, and it matters to me. So I found myself last week in a legacy planning meeting.
Yes.
And I, because I'm a business guy, I always want to figure out the bias of the person in front of me.
You're talking
what,
to.
What is their, they want to write trusts and wills, right?
Yeah.
Very, very clearly through the talk, he wanted more trust and wills written, and I'm fine with that, got that, understood it. Drug poor Barb along because I wanted to have her perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she doesn't do this for a living and, you know, see what she got. But I also wanted to understand their business model. Why is he there from another state on a Saturday morning talking? And it was pretty easy for me to come up with that. And we can talk about that if you're one of our families. But what he did say is, hey, there are three options when you have something in your name only and you die. And that is true.
Okay.
You can die intestate, which means you don't have a will. It always cracks me up when I say, do you have a will? And people will go, no. And it's like, Sherry, yes, you do. Because the state of Indiana provides one for you. Even if you don't have one of your own, you just may not like what it says.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. Wow.
So you die intestate means you have no will. You die testate, it means you have a will that you have provided that says, this is what I want to occur. Mm. Or you have a trust. And the trust is just another form of ownership. Okay.
Yep.
So again, I said if those assets were only in your name, so if I had a car that was only in my name and I had a will, the will would say that it would go to Barb, my wife, right? The problem is many people believe they avoid this thing called probate, which is nothing more than an administrative process. Mm. If you have a will, you don't avoid probate. In fact, the only way for a will to work is to go through probate, right? It's that process. The trust, on the other hand, is a different form of an administration system that is able to help you get your money to where it is you want to go.
So is it true that a trust, you have more say in that process?
In a trust?
In a trust,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. In probate, you don't?
I wouldn't say infinitely more. Well, you can put what you want to put in your will, but somebody else has to administer it. Of course, a court has to sign off on it. And it is very, very public.
Right.
The
reason we
were able to talk about Robin Williams, Jerry Lewis, Prince, Elvis, who was the guy in Fairmount that died? James Dean.
James Dean,
right?
Yeah.
The reason we know everything that they had and everything that they did, both right and wrong, was because they used a will.
Yeah.
Because an attorney, in my opinion, you know, wanted to probate it, right?
Yeah.
And so you will not be probating him if I die.
Yeah.
You can guess where my money went, but you're not going to know where my money went because it's inside of a trust and it is hidden.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's not I'm not doing it for the privacy as much as the expense and the ease of administration, but most importantly, the control to try to make sure that the dollars go in the direction that I really, really want them to go in.
Mm.
So with a trust, you can have what's called a living trust or a grantor trust that's totally revocable. I call it the hokey pokey, right? You can put one leg in, shake it all around, pull it back out, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's no tax issue involved. If I, you know, and this is for everything that you own with the exception of tax deferred accounts. So it's not IRAs, it's not Roths. But my life insurance, our cars, our houses, you know, are able to go inside of that trust. It becomes irrevocable. That means you can't make any change in one of two ways. Either I'm dead or I become mentally or physically incapacitated and somebody else has to take care of me, right?
Yes.
Now, here's one thing that I believe people are skipping over that really, really, really needs to be addressed.
Okay.
And that is in the old days, things changed, just like I talked about in the investment world. Back in 2002, when I had my trust first created, I had two trusts. I had what they called an AB trust. So there was a trust for Joe and there was a trust for Barb.
Okay.
Right? And that's because we didn't have the ability to have what's called portability, which is too long to explain now. Mm. But one of the best things that happened under the Obama administration for middle class people was this thing called portability. It was truly great for American people, and so thankful that that, and that was clearly during the Obama administration when that was passed and came out. So now attorneys are telling people you really only need one trust. And here's where I would cause some pause. Again, with the bias, attorneys are well trained in estate planning maneuvers and taxes. Estate planning attorneys, not all attorneys, estate planning attorneys. But oftentimes they forget the income tax situation.
Yeah.
And I would make sure that you're talking to somebody about some of the hypotheticals. And remember one of my rules, 10% of us die. 90% of us fade away. And there are still reasons, in my opinion, to have those two trusts established if they're already set up. Hey, you're listening, Consider This. I'm Joe Clark. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kontos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money in five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months, and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now, 800-303-3398.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
Happy to have you along, Sherry and gang.
Yeah.
You know, it's always good to have you guys taking time to listen. This is where Sherry gets to grill me and ask me questions.
Ask a question.
Yeah, here we go.
Well, people ask me questions too on the street. You know, we've talked about that before. And so, I've got a couple things here that pertain to 401ks and IRAs and retirement kinds of stuff. And I have a friend who turned 62 yesterday.
Cool.
And so the question that he posed to me was, he works for a company that's been bought and sold like three different times.
Yep.
And so he has a 401k. Is there three?
401ks.
Yes.
Okay.
From each of the three companies. The largest one. And I don't know enough details to maybe address his specific case, but I would like to know what you would be asking him if you were talking to him. So the largest 401k is the current one, and he's not going to touch that. But the first two, now that he's 62, he's getting advice that you could cash one of them in, the smaller of them, because it's not going to earn that much interest if you leave it alone between now and then, however it currently is invested. And so he was saying to me, I don't know what that means. You know, do I?
So here's we're already in a cluster because
right.
People are providing advice that have no real knowledge base or understanding. First of all, in a 401k, the funds don't care. That's part of the mutual fund. You know, part of being blind, they don't care if you have $500 or $500,000 in
right.
the fund. It's going to be managed inside of the trust. Secondly, 62 means absolutely nothing from an investment standpoint. It does mean you're eligible for Social Security early. I wouldn't recommend most people do that.
Right.
You know, that is not the case. So if he's still working with the bigger 401k, he essentially has three options. Option number one is he can roll those other two 401k plans into his existing 401k that he's at to consolidate and simplify, presuming that the current company would accept them. In most cases, they will.
But in this case, I don't think they will, because he said for whatever reason, they would not roll over.
Not a problem. So that was option one. He's already examined it. Option number two is to roll them over into a self-directed IRA.
Right.
The two can be combined into one IRA.
Yeah.
And then he has the ability to do the things that he wants to get done with them.
Now, if you did that, you would lump sum it?
I would take a lump sum out of the 401k.
Shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you roll it directly into an IRA, but those two 401ks can become one IRA.
Okay.
There's no taxes that are on it.
Right.
So every now and then I hear somebody, we had this happen with one of the local hospitals. Somebody said, you know, hey, I'm getting $50,000. I can roll it into an IRA, or I can take it directly, but I need $20,000. So I'm just going to take it directly. And then they recognize a 10% penalty. He wouldn't, because he's over 59 and a half.
Right.
They recognize a 10% penalty plus full taxation on 50, even though they needed 20. Right?
Right.
What you do always is to roll that to an IRA, right? Once it's in an IRA, then you request the $20,000. The other 30 is left inside of the account. And the tax withholding is based on what you tell them to withhold.
Right.
Based on a 401k, it's a required 20% that is withheld to the federal government, regardless of what marginal bracket you happen to be in.
Okay. So at 62, if you're trying to decide between, okay, help me out here, if he's lump summing it, and he's going to roll it in.
So technically, when people hear the word lump sum, by the way, they're usually referring to a defined benefit where they've got a pension plan and they're getting bought out.
Okay.
In a 401k, when you say the word lump sum, it usually means they're cashing out, taking a
check.
That's
what I mean. Yeah.
They're going 20% is going to be sent to the federal government.
Yep.
And all of that money, they're going to get a 1099 for at the end of the year that gets added to their tax return. And that is rarely a good idea.
Okay, so with that quantity of money, I won't use the term lump sum. With that
amount of money in the two 401ks,
his options for IRAs are at 62. How much can he put into a Roth? How much can he do traditional IRA?
Well, that's a contribution. There's a huge difference between a rollover and there's two C words. One's a contribution.
Okay.
Contribution is based on your attained age and having earned income.
Right.
So if you're under 50, you can put $5,500 a year in an IRA. If you qualify income wise, you can put $5,500 a year in a Roth IRA, not both, pick one or partially in each, assuming your income requirements are low enough. You can do that at any age. The IRA stops at 70 and a half.
Right.
And then if you work in a 401k, you can put in $18,500. If you're over 50, the IRAs become $6,500.
Right.
And the 401k becomes $24,500. That's contribution.
Right.
If I had $1 million in those 401k plans,
right,
I could roll those into an IRA. That's not a contribution. That's a trustee to trustee rollover.
But you can roll it into a Roth.
I could roll it into a Roth, but then I'd have to pay the taxes on it.
Oh, so on all of it.
So I would roll it first to an IRA, then look at his 1040, help him figure out how to maximize his marginal bracket, and convert the portion to a Roth that should be converted to a Roth.
I see. Okay.
Good. Again, five critical elements, and this seems like a simple question. I love the Fidelity billboards. Move your 401k to an IRA.
Yeah.
You know, here it is. It's sweet and simple. They finally took them down out of, I think, my protest, because I don't know how many letters and emails I sent. But they used to have a thing that Social Security is easy as 1, 2, 3. Go online, take your benefit.
I know.
Are you kidding me, people?
Yeah.
Right? This is not as simple as it appears. And just because people make it look simple does not mean you should risk your financial future because it looks simple.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's just not.
So talking about putting money in an IRA, I ran across an article. I just want your gut response to this. Title, 3 reasons traditional IRAs are better than Roth IRAs.
Okay.
3 general reasons. Yeah.
Do you want me to answer what they
I want to know what you, okay. What do you think?
So the three general rules that they would argue is that people are in a higher tax base while they're working than when they retire, and so they're deferring at a higher rate than what they would have to pay taxes on pulling out.
Later. Yep.
What they forget is people die.
Yeah.
Marginal rates of a married, people look at their marginal rate while they're married filing jointly and forget that they're going to pull money out while they're, mm-hmm. while they're not. Mm-hmm. Some will argue that it's better for the beneficiary because the beneficiary was in a lower tax bracket than they were. I think that is ludicrous, but anytime I hear somebody try to say that this is a good idea, you know, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the ability to reduce your marginal tax rate by reducing your adjusted gross income doing tax deferred.
Right, right. Right.
So that gives you some of the other options, whether that be the health care credit, you know, the things of that nature.
Well, the only thing they mentioned was the maximum income level on the IRA, like in order to contribute.
Well, but that's not a benefit of the IRA. That's not over the Roth.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
okay.
If you can contribute to an IRA, you can contribute to a Roth unless your income is too high.
That's what they meant.
Too low.
Yeah, that's what they meant. Yeah. Okay.
But you still, it's still limited based on what you have available at work and other places and things of that nature.
Hmm. Okay.
Just never forget the spousal rules, though, in that thing. You know, Barb, you know, it's, you know, I'm able to put money into an account for Barb every year.
Yeah.
Because we have earned income. Whether she has earned income or not is absolutely immaterial and often lost. Hmm. One of the biggest things that came out of the tax change December 20th, signed into law December 22nd of 17, truly was the ability to have the saver's tax credit. Remember, a credit's a dollar for dollar saving. So if your income is low, I think it's $31,500, if I recall, you can actually get a credit for putting money into a Roth. So it's a double whammy if you have the ability to do that for your kids. Oh. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in. You can go to our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. Have a great week. We'll see you again soon.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.